to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Kind of a Boise State week on the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, hasn't it? I mean, we were live from Boise on Wednesday. I was in Boise, Idaho, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, writing about Boise State for johncanzano.com and talking about him on this radio show. And certainly, we're gonna put the punctuation mark on the week as we have explored a lot about who the Broncos are, what makes them tick, where are they going, what are they going to be like in the new world Pac-12. This hour, we will obviously have our big splash coming up later this hour. And our guest here in this segment is Mike Prater. He hosts a radio show in Boise. He is on The Ticket, the ESPN affiliate there. He also writes a column at Bronco News Nation. He's got his finger on the pulse of Boise State athletics. And I guess to summarize or cap off a week where we have talked a lot about Boise State, Mike Prater here to talk about it. Now, Mike, before I get going, we got to talk about the weather in Boise. It was a little snow flurry, a little wetness on the ground. Give me an idea. I had a little range of emotions. Sunny when I was flying out yesterday, but give me, did I experience true Boise weather in the winter?
Well, today it's golf weather. Yesterday it was skiing weather. I love the way you pointed that out in your column, and I read your last two columns on this. And, yeah, welcome to Idaho weather. Now I have a question for you. When you opened up your column the other day and you're talking about coffee, backpacks, knit caps, I thought maybe you were talking about Portland there for a second.
I know, but I just wanted people to know, like I just looked out the window and I go, I'm just going to write what I see, and the first thing I see is some guy crossing the street. He's got, like, four cups of coffee in a cardboard box. And light snow flurry, like just barely snowing, guy with an umbrella. You know, it was just, and your downtown is beautiful, by the way. It's just beautiful.
I appreciate that. And I have always said, and sometimes I take a beating for this, but I've always said that Boise is the most safest weather city in America. And then somebody reminds me that we had a hailstorm here in 1989 that beat up a couple of cars. So, yeah, it's pretty comfortable here. You can play golf year-round, and it's still desert. We're only about 2,400, 2,500 feet, and the weather is doable year-round. Not so bad.
Now, a couple of downtown hotels. I think there was the Grove. There was obviously Hotel Renegade, where I broadcast from, and then
nice,
and then really nice new hotel, and then 8th Street. Tell us about the 8th Street Promenade.
Yeah, the 8th Street, that was a driving thoroughfare a couple of years ago, and then the mayor came in, and during COVID, the distancing of sidewalks and outdoor cafes and, 8 feet apart, all that kind of stuff happened here like it did in a lot of major cities, mid-cities, and they just kind of kept it going. And if you would have been here probably 2 years ago, it was more construction zones and signs that said stay out and all that kind of stuff, kind of piecemeal and kind of like garbagey and kind of gross. And over the last year, they put up some real barriers. They put up some artwork. And I try to get downtown Boise two or three times a week. I love it, downtown Boise.
Mike Prater is with us. Obviously, you host a radio show. You are, you've got the post game there with Boise State. You write a column, Bronco News Nation. Mike Prater is with us. He hosts a radio show on 95.3 there in Boise. Also writes a column for Bronco News Nation. I'm curious, Mike, how excited is the average Boise State fan about what's going on in the Pac-12 and who might be the next piece in expansion?
The next bite of the apple is a phrase that you use. Will be that expansion in terms of going out and finding a team. People are very curious. Is it going to be Nevada, UNLV, Texas State, a combination of Memphis, Tulane? Who knows? Very, very curious. We talked about this at length on our show yesterday. The new Mountain West schedule came out for Boise State this fall in 2025. It's not very good. The home games, the home schedule is horrible. And then we just had to talk people off the shelf and remind them in 2026 that Pac-12 schedule kicks in. Lots of sexy opponents. Things are going to get better. If Boise State fans can get through this next year as a lame duck in the Mountain West, I think they're really fired up for the Pac-12.
Mike, obviously the Mountain West, there's some bad feelings there. Why do you think the Mountain West Conference is taking this personally? It feels like it's very personal to Gloria Navarez and a lot of the other schools that are left behind.
Well, here at in our radio show, we like to take credit for giving her the nickname Gloria the Gangster. And because in the beginning, when she first came on, as you've covered her as well as anybody, she came in and kicked butt, taking names and doing all kinds of things. And And then it got away from her. She had to fight back a little bit, and it has kind of gotten gross. I don't think it's, you know, talking to Jeremiah Dickey, which you got to spend a lot of time with, he still considers Gloria a good friend. I think Gloria, the individual relationships are fine. The entities are not, and they're in court, and you know all those kinds of gory details. And it's kind of a weird deal between Gould and Gloria Navarez and the two commissioners. But yeah, there is some animosity. I mean, the leaving the team, leaving the family, you know, letting them behind. And the Mountain West is going to be a lesser of a product because they left behind the dead weight when this Pac-12 movement happened. So I think that there is, but I also feel like the Mountain West has been thumping its chest the last couple of months, you know, taking this money, that war chest, going out and recruiting everything from Northern Illinois to whoever they have to get. I think that they fought back fairly hard, and they've done the best that they can. They've got themselves a full family now, and going out there and negotiating the same media rights that the Mountain or the Pac-12 is doing. But it's been a crazy, crazy fun dynamic to watch these two entities go back and forth.
We'll get to football. I want to talk football, but Peanut Carmichael made his debut the other night, and Boise State, he got 21 in his debut, and our listeners in Bend on the network are really happy. They know that kid. He really adds a dimension. I mean, an outside shooting dimension that doesn't allow defenses to kind of cave in on what Boise State's trying to do. How good is that basketball product, and what do you expect here as March approaches?
Well, this team is kind of up and down. They got a road trip to Reno this weekend, but Peanut, let's get back to him. And we had him on our show yesterday. First time he said he's ever done a live radio interview. A little bit nervous and a little bit fun. They needed an injection of offense, and then here comes this true freshman from Bend, Peanut Carmichael, and he starts banging out some points. His first ever career start, his career high, 21 points. And I think he's got a lot of swagger. He's got the tongue thing going on with Michael Jordan. He kissed the crowd when he nailed one of those three-pointers. He's an 18-year-old true freshman, stretches the floor, creates a better pace, and I think he gives Boise State's offense a lot of new life.
Mike Prater with us. Obviously, we're talking a little Boise State, KTIK, 95.3 FM there, the ticket in Boise. Mike, the football stadium, I walked in. There's cranes on the north end zone. That $65 million project is well underway. What is that going to add to the game day experience at Boise State?
Oh, I think it's going to be cool. I mean, I've never been a big fan of that stadium. It's kind of a giant concrete, you know, behemoth that really, there's not a lot of room to do things. You're kind of landlocked on the north because of the river, landlocked on the south because of roads, and the east because of roads, and the west because of campus. There's not a lot that they can do there, but Jeremiah Dickey's found this creative way, the $65 million North End Zone project, premium seats, turf level seating, the infrastructure is going to include, I mean, you know, 10 years ago, Boise State football and Boise State sports teams were meeting in old, abandoned, concrete racquetball rooms underneath the stadium. Now they're going to get this brand-new, beautiful, 200-seat lodge type of cabin-type place where they can come in and study, they can come in and eat, they can come in and meet. There's a lot of infrastructure for the student-athletes as well, and that was always important to Jeremiah Dickey. They're going to connect the concourses so fans can have the 360 runaround of the stadium. They've got other issues to deal with this stadium. The one thing that fans aren't happy about right now, well, two things. One, prices is going up, and up. There's a lot of prices going up, and you did a nice job of chronicling that in your column. But this year, and it's probably a good thing considering the schedule I just talked about, they're going to lose about 1,500 to 2,000 seats in the capacity. They've moved a lot of lifetime North End Zone seats, season ticket holders, to other parts of the stadium, jacked up their prices. So it's not exactly the best news here in town, but it's ultimately the right thing to do. Premium seats, better amenities, and a better stadium experience for everybody.
Do the fans grasp that, you know, Jeremiah Dickey was saying that, you know, as the athletic director, he's enjoying the run last year, but he's also mindful that the price of competing is going up, and he was looking for more revenue. Do fans accept that? Do fans seem to know that?
I think they are under Jeremiah, and under previous regimes, no. And Boise State's a little late to the NIL party. Boise State's a little late to the infrastructure party. Leon Rice, the basketball coach 2 years ago, was complaining that he had 76 missing light bulbs in the basketball headquarters. He went around and counted them one day. The infrastructure here was taking a beating, and Jeremiah has done a great job for 2 or 3 years kind of fixing the infrastructure before going public with things like the North End Zone complex. And there's a lot of in JD we trust. That's a pretty popular phrase around here. And he's not afraid to ask for money. I mean, this dude, every single basketball game and every single football game. I in the past, I'd see athletic directors sitting in the exact same seat waiting for fans to come up to them. Jeremiah Dickey doesn't have a seat at football. He doesn't have a seat at basketball. He literally kisses babies, shakes hands, and raises money during these events. And I think people dig it. He's got this charming style about him. He's been very successful here. He just signed a brand-new five-year contract after getting courted by Houston a little bit. So, you know, as long as they can keep him for, I don't know, let's say 2 or 3 years through that five-year contract, get that stadium expansion taken care of through 2026 when they play the Oregon Ducks again, I think that they're going to give Jeremiah Dickey all the money he wants. It's going through the roof right now, but it's still not enough, he'll always tell you.
You've got your finger on the pulse of that fan base, and, you know, all logistical issues and lawsuits and all things aside, who does the Boise State fan want in this conference? Who would be school number 8, school number 9, if you asked Boise State fans?
They would take a big, deep breath and go, I guess UNLV Nevada. And I know and the UNLV thing, the grant of rights thing, I don't go back. I go back and forth. I'm not even sure if that's possible. Do you? I mean, I'm not even sure if that's possible.
I got an attorney looking at it to see how binding it is. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the money, if the money doesn't come through, blah, 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 I get all that. There's a long, beautiful relationship with Nevada and an antagonistic one, too, which makes the sports part of it fantastic. In the 1990s, Boise State wanted to be Nevada. Nevada went to the Big West. Nevada went to Division I 2 or 3 years before Boise State, and they were chasing Nevada for many, many years. Now, obviously, that's flipped, and that community in Reno, I'm not sure how much they're investing in that athletic department. It's pretty tough down there right now. But if you can get Nevada and UNLV, and UNLV continues to invest in athletics, continues to find consistency in the president's office and the athletic director's office and keep the momentum going, I think that they got a chance geographically, and that's what the Pac-12 leaders want. I know that that's what they'd ideally love to have. UNLV and Nevada makes sense, but Texas State, Memphis, Tulane, who knows where they're going?
I think Texas State's in the conversation, but I have them way down the list. I think there might be better ways to get into Texas if you're going to do it. UTSA, I think I would take in front of them. I might even take Rice in front of Texas State. We're talking to Mike Prater, KTIK 95.3 in Boise, also Bronco News Nation columnist there. Spencer Danielson and this football team, who else do you expect to be at the top of this conference? Because I'm penciling Boise State in as a team you could put in the conference championship game in any given year. But who else do you expect to compete? Who would you pencil into that game with Boise State?
Washington State, Oregon State are just going to be naturals. There is not a lot of dead weight in this new Pac-12 conference moving forward, and I think that's one of the exciting things that Boise State has when it comes to what the future holds.
What about San Diego State? Give me quickly, and I'll let you go here, Mike, but San Diego State, you know, reminds me a little of Arizona State as an underachiever sleeping giant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, they got that stadium in there, and that was the plan with that stadium. Certainly, basketball, there's no problem there with basketball. You know, I think it's the football gods, the karma football gods. They disrespected the word offense. They disrespected quarterbacks for too many years there at San Diego State. And they had great defense. Rocky Long and those guys did a fantastic job building everything about that football program, but I kind of need a quarterback, and I need to keep a couple of skill wide receivers to take care of it. Hopefully they get that taken care of. I think San Diego State can be a sleeping giant when it comes to football. I expect them to be one of the Mountain West, Pac-12 powers moving forward.
There you go. All right, Mike, I will catch you down the road, and I'll hop on your show anytime.
I appreciate it.
San Diego State as a parallel with Arizona State. Try that one on. Mike Prater from KTIK 95.3 in Boise. Also, Bronco News Nation sports columnist. Look, I think it's going to be really interesting to see who decides to compete at the top of this conference and who does not. And I said decide because a large part of this has to do with how much are you willing to invest. And when you look at the schools that the Pac-12 took, the Mountain West Five, they are the schools that have spent money traditionally. The schools that have lower budgets were not included. Now, UNLV brings a market, and UNLV has got some financial obstacles to get over. And you might have to take Nevada if you take UNLV. But I like how Mike Prater's thinking. He's thinking regionally, best of the West, not best of the rest in his mind. If you got the bald face truth statewide, if you want to read any of my reports from Boise, you can go to johnconzano.com and check that stuff out.